Hello, and welcome to Autistically Unapologetic, the unfiltered and unmasked podcast about everything autism. Here's your host, Devin Morrissey.
Hi, and welcome to Autistically Unapologetic with me, Devin Morrissey. I would like to officially welcome you all to episode 18, where today I will be talking about authentic autistic actors. Now, as we watch the entertainment industry on both sides of the United States change course on how the world sees authenticity, it's exciting to see the change in how actors, singers, and performers, all on the autism spectrum, are getting their chance to shine in the spotlight and make a career in this industry, such as that of my next guest. My next guest is an actor and singer who many of you will recognize as Tommy from the Broadway musical How to Dance in Ohio. Please welcome to Autistically Unapologetic, Connor Taigg. Hey.
Hey, guys. Hey, Devin.
What is going on? You've had a pretty amazing year, I gotta say.
Oh, thanks for having me. I'm really looking forward to this. And love the introduction, man. I really love it.
Well, I mean, I think that it only makes sense to talk about how authentic autistic actors are actually getting their moment, especially with your incredible performance and your incredible representation with a little show that we're going to talk about in a few minutes. So usually when I start this podcast, I usually like to get a chance to know about my guests' origins or their backstories. So my first question for you, Connor, is, when were you first diagnosed autistic? When did you first find out that you were autistic? And what was your reaction to all of it?
Yeah, this is a really good question. I was diagnosed at a very young age. I was diagnosed at age 2. So I was very young, like was like a toddler stage. And the time where I found out I was autistic, I think I was like 9. I cannot remember what my reaction was because at that time I really didn't know what autism was or, you know, how it works. But then, you know, as time went on, I learned more about it. I learned more about myself. And growing up, I had a lot of physical therapy because I have been told that I was never going to be able to talk, to walk or move, basically do anything. It was gonna be like a blob, like nothing. But then the physical therapy really helped. It also helped my speaking, and apparently it also, going up to where my career started, it helped me in a way to pick up cues, because that's one of my good qualities that I'm pretty good at.
That's awesome. I think that what's so neat, and I actually didn't know this, was that you went through physical therapy. And
yes,
the fact that you found out at such a young age is kind of similar. I found out when I was 3, so you kind of found out a lot sooner in life than I did. But what's interesting about your story and sort of where it started was that it helped you get into not only the career that you're currently thriving in right now, but in a way, it also kind of taught you a lot about yourself that maybe you didn't know before until you actually became more confident in your own skin. So tell me a little bit about your life growing up on the autism spectrum. What was that like for you?
Well, a good place I like to start that is mostly time in my school years. And, you know, the schools that I went to before I went to my high school, those schools were run by the NEST program. And, you know, there were like sessions where kids like me would have like private sessions and like private classes. And, you know, there were people that knew about me and who I was. And one thing to know about me is that I'm an impressionist. Like, I do impressions of certain characters, you know, like if you ask me to do a Jim Carrey, I'll be like either Ace Ventura or the Grinch. But yes, I will definitely do a little bit of that later. Sometimes growing up on the spectrum, I did make some friends, but it was also a little difficult because there were people that knew who I was, and they would say or do things that would basically trigger something in me. Like, it was I was a little excluded from a lot of things, especially from other groups. And I'm not very good with academics. So if someone asks me to solve a math equation or something else, I'm like, what? Oh my God. I can't do it. I can't do math. But when I went to high school, now the thing to know about me, I mean, a lot of people know this already, but I am a musical theater lover. And
Yes.
the high school I went to was a performing arts school, Repertory
Oh, wow.
Company High School for Theater Arts. So if you ever visit New York and you go to the Stephen Sondheim Theater, the high school's like
Yes.
right across.
Wait, are you serious?
Yeah, it's right there. It's right
Wow.
across from Stephen Sondheim Theater. In fact, the high school is connected to the town hall. So
Oh my
there's a
God.
lot of Broadway connections. So I went to that high school, and there were p also people who knew I was on the spectrum, but they were more accepting because they shared the same passion I did. And eventually I ended up doing shows with them. Like my freshman year, I was in the Jazzy Chaperone. I played a underling.
Oh, that's a great one.
Yeah, and you know, which was weird because I was a freshman. I was like 14 years old. And I had to wear like old age makeup and like a wig. And you wouldn't play that role now. But back then, it was like anyone can play anything. But the last role I played in high school was, well, it's actually very fitting. I played King Charlemagne from Pippin.
Oh.
Yeah, and we were licensed to the revival version, so my performance was a little bit like Terrence Mann's. But sometimes in high school there were times where I also struggled academically, but you know, I made the most of it, especially with the performing arts, and I've had a lot of mentors and friends who I had amazing support from. And then I graduated right after. And right after I graduated, I went to a college conservatory, also a musical theater, New York Film Academy, in
Get
the
out of here. Get out of
National
here.
Conservatory of Musical Theater. And just like my high school, they were also accepting of me because they shared the same passion. Although it was a little stricter as far as getting assignments done, but the place felt like home. And I did more shows there. In fact, I did several readings of shows that don't exist yet, but two main stage shows, two of which you may recognize already. My first main stage show with NYFA was, I was in the ensemble of Sweeney Todd. Yes, my very first Stephen Sondheim musical. And in that
That's
show, I die three times.
oh.
Three. One of which I was killed by Sweeney, but it was like a silhouette, so you don't see it, but you see a shadow. And we did, unfortunately, we didn't have like the sliding chair. We didn't have the budget. But if you get killed by Sweeney, the light goes out and you go through a trap door. My other main show in NYFA was actually my very first leading role. I was Freddie Benson in Dirty Rotten Scoundrels.
Oh.
That was the most fun I've had in any show I've done. And what made it special is that it was a Tony Award-winning role. Norbert Leo
Yes.
Butt won a Tony for Best Actor. And it felt like a huge honor. I didn't want to stop rehearsing. I wanted to keep on working and I wanted to try new things. So basically, growing up in the early stages was tough. But as time went on, it got better, more accepting, and my friendship status grew to a huge chunk of friends who share the same passion as me and, you know, who are also on a spectrum like me as well. So I guess you can say I'm not alone. It's a really amazing safe space.
You are definitely not alone. It's so incredible of how, in a way, we had similar childhoods in terms of just performing consistently in musical theater. I kid you not, my entire high school experience, I practically lived in my high school theater. And throughout my senior year, it was back-to-back performances, whether it was a show, whether it was through the school, whether it was through a professional theater company, because I grew up in San Francisco. So there weren't as many opportunities in terms of performing, but I vividly remember doing all that stuff. And in a way, you learn a lot about yourself as you're performing in these different characters. And you find out more about yourself on stage than I think you may
Yes.
actually do in real life, which is crazy to
Yeah,
believe. But
I really found myself through Freddie because both of us are like very energetic and very fun to be around. And there are times where we can be serious when necessary. There's a similarity between me and Mr. Fred Benson.
yep, I'm already seeing it. I'm already seeing it.
I have their pictures on like my social media doing the show. So if you like do a social media search, it was I posted about it on World Theater Day in 2021. There are pictures of me as Freddy in Dirty Rotten Scoundrels.
You know what? I think I
Looks
saw
familiar.
that. I think I saw that. I think that's all that I'm just like, I can totally see Connor doing that. I can totally see him playing that, which is crazy
I
when you
did
think
it.
of
I did it.
it. And you live to actually tell the tale. You played Freddie Benson. It's incredible. So you're just one of many autistic actors right now that are really beginning to take over the entertainment industry. It has
Yes.
been very evident over the years that autistic roles have been played by non-autistic actors. And now we've begun to see this turning of the page in terms of autistic actors getting hired, working, and most importantly, getting paid. How
Yeah.
does it feel to play a part in this movement?
It's really amazing. And with How to Dance in Ohio, this was basically a wake-up call to show everyone that there are autistic actors that can play these parts,
Yes.
especially characters that are also on the spectrum like us. And I have seen a few projects like, old movies and some TV shows where a non-autistic actor plays an autistic character.
Yeah.
And people now, well, people back then were saying like, wow, that's good. But people now are probably saying like, we could do better than that.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, when you look at Freddie Highmore in The Good Doctor, I mean, don't get me wrong, I love Freddie Highmore for
Yeah.
other things. But then when I watch him in The Good Doctor, I like, okay, he's playing the character on the spectrum, but there's something not entirely right. It's like it's one dimensional. Like a lot of people don't do the research right. They only think that autism is only one or two to three things, but they're wrong. It's many things.
Yeah.
So many things. But then, a few of us weren't the ones that started this trend. There were a few other people who are also on the spectrum that starred on things like, for example, Kayla Cromer was in
Yes.
Everything's Gonna Be
I
Okay.
was just going to bring that up of her
Yeah.
and Lillian Carrier, who's also an Epic player in Los Angeles.
Yes, Lillian.
That show, I literally watched it. I'm just like, oh my God, they actually have autistic actors on this show.
Yeah, and then Kayla ended up voicing Twyla, an autistic character in Monster High, and then played a recurring role in the final season of The Good Doctor. And I'm like, they finally did something right.
You hit the nail on the head with that, because I think with what Kayla has done is really, in a way, opened so many doors. And same with Lillian as well. Lillian's
Yeah.
fantastic. I gotta say, though, and I want to kind of take you back, because this was Thanksgiving of last year, and I'm a huge holiday nerd when it comes to like Christmas, and the Macy's Thanksgiving Day
Oh.
Parade is my go-to. And I hear the word autistic actors, and then I see you and the entire cast of How to Dance
Yes,
Ohio, and I'm
people thrown
literally
from the
thinking to
train.
myself, it's about time. It's
Yes.
about time.
It is about time.
And I just kind of felt this like emotions that I'm just like, this has been long overdue to watch this happen and to see that And then just to see the joy in not just you, but in all the performers. I never had the chance to see it, sadly. I wish it was still on Broadway, I'm not gonna lie. But seeing all of the joy that you and the cast members got to experience on that in front of a worldwide audience that is watched around the world on Thanksgiving Day, that is, I can only imagine that moment
Dude,
for
that
you
day
right there.
was the best day of everyone's lives, including my own. And the crazy thing, we had to get up, most of us had to get up at like 3 in the morning. But I didn't feel exhausted. I'm like, oh, okay, just get up and go to the city. And it was very beautiful in the city. Like, there was nobody out, it was quiet, and I just walked to the theater, and then we all got into a bus and onto our trailers before we got on. And basically, we also interacted with all the other Broadway shows that
Really?
were also in the parade. You know, Spamalot, Back to the Future, Shucked, and Juliet. And it was just an amazing day. And we even passed out our own fidget spinners to
Hey.
I got to personally give a fidget spinner to Michael Urie, who was in Spamalot at the time. He was Sir Robin, and he was such a sweetheart, and he really loved the fidget spinner that I gave him. And like a few hours after the parade, he like posted on his story that he got a fidget spinner from us, and I'm like, I hope you love it.
Hey, that's one way to say it, passing fidget spinners and teaching the world about autism one fidget spinner at a time.
Yes.
So you and I actually have something both in common, and that is that we both belong to Epic Players. Now, for those of you that live under a rock, or in case you don't know, Epic Players is a neurodiverse theater company with branches both in New York City and in Los Angeles. You have been part of Epic for quite a while now in New York City, and I literally just started with the Los Angeles branch of Epic. How has Epic Players helped you with performing and expanding opportunities for autistic and neurodiverse actors, singers, and even performers?
Yeah, it's Epic has really helped me out over the years. And I actually joined Epic in 2020. So it was when the pandemic was, when everything was virtual at the time and nobody was seeing each other and everyone was still masking. I joined then because I had plans, but everything was like shut down. But Epic was still being operated through Zoom. And so I joined. And actually, it was a bit of a pattern because a few of my longtime friends that I've known for a really long time joined Epic one by one. First, it was one person, then the next, and then me, and a few others right after. And we took a few classes, and even did one of our cabarets. In fact, my very first cabaret with Epic 4 years ago was a Rocky Horror themed cabaret. You know, like the Rocky Horror Picture Show? Yeah. I played a few characters. I played Riff Raff and Rocky. And here's how we actually did the performances. While the presentations were live on Zoom, the performances were filmed in advance. So we were like in another studio, you know, socially distanced, masks and all that, but performing, but maskless with when we were performing, and like we were behind a green screen. There's a video on Epic's YouTube of the Time Warp. So that there's an example. And I got to lead that song, so that was really fun. And then a year later, everything was starting to open up. Like, people were starting to see each other in person again. Live performances were happening again. And I did another cabaret with them. It was a villain-themed cabaret. And that's where I performed You'll Be Back from Hamilton as King George III.
That song from Hamilton is probably one of the greatest Broadway villain songs I've heard in my life.
It's also my dream role. I want to play that role in, like, a few years.
I can see you doing that, actually. I can see you doing that.
Yeah. So, yeah, I've done a lot with Epic. And My first main stage production with Epic from 2022 was the 25th annual Putnam County Spelling Bee, where I played William Barfay.
Oh, yes. That is such a good musical right there.
I love it so much. And like Freddie Benson, that was also the role that won a Tony for Best Featured Actor.
It did?
Dan Fogler, who originated the role on Broadway, won the Tony for playing William Barfay for Best Featured Actor the same year Norbert Leo Butz won for Freddie. So as soon as I found out, I was like, it's just a coincidence.
It really is, though.
But like Freddie, William Barfay was such a fun role to play, and I missed that show. And right after Spelling Bee was done, we had our world premiere of How to Dance in Ohio in Syracuse.
Oh, so it didn't start on Broadway, but it
No,
didn't have the good showings.
it's actually been in development for a really long time. And I joined the development in 2021 when we had like a reading, and that's where I met the other six main
Yes.
leads. And we had our reading, and then next year I found out that it's going forward with a world premiere. And I'm like, yes, sign me up. And it was right after Spelling Bee, so it was perfect timing.
It literally was perfect timing. And that's actually where my next question is going to go into, because
Yes.
you helped make Broadway history by starring in the Broadway musical How to Dance in Ohio in 2023. This Broadway musical was based on the 2015 documentary film of the same name. And this was the first Broadway musical to cast an entire cast of autistic actors as autistic characters. What did it mean to you to be a part of a history-making performance on Broadway?
It meant so much, not only to me, but everyone else that was involved. And not only was it our Broadway debut, but it was also in total a Broadway debut of 45 people, not just including the cast, but also some of the crew members and some of the producing team. It was a lot. It's a high count. It's a really high count.
Wow.
And not only did we have people on the spectrum in the cast, but also on the team. Like, for example, we have Nicole D'Angelo, who was a script assistant and musical assistant, and a former Epic player from NY.
Really?
And then
Oh, wow.
we also have Catherine Quinn, who another part of the script team. She's helped out with Shucked. And currently, The Great Gatsby, and right now,
Wow.
helping out with the social media team for The Roommate with Mia Farrow and Patti LuPone. And we also have Jeremy Wing, who's like on the producing team. Technically, his Broadway debut was the producing for Gutenberg, which I got to see
Ooh.
twice. And we have people on the spectrum in the creative team as well. So it's a win-win.
It definitely is a win-win. Hearing that it's not just a primarily autistic cast on stage, but hearing that it's also a very good chunk of autistic people on the crew, that's what I was hoping would happen. Because something that I've always said over the years is that autistic people, all of us that are on the spectrum, we have a lot of talent to showcase, but for some reason, society has held the door very tight. And something that I think we've learned about in entertainment is that there aren't very many opportunities for people to showcase their talents. And what I absolutely love about How to Dance in Ohio is that it has opened the doors for so many performers, like you
Yeah,
sort of
it
paved
really
that way so that it's easier for other autistic performers in the future to follow in your footsteps. So for you to play a part in that and to showcase being authentically autistic while playing this autistic character as well, I think that it is so amazing. I mean, I'm still trying to find the words because when I was watching the parade and watching you all perform, it literally hit me just like autism is finally getting a name on the Broadway map. And
It's in
not
the arts
just
now.
Yes, exactly. And not just by actors, but actual autistic actors who know what it is like. And I just couldn't be more elated for all of you that had the chance to be a part of this experience. It's so amazing.
Yeah, it was really fun. And I miss the show. I still miss it to this day, 'cause when we found out that the show was closing earlier than expected, it was really hard for all of us. And one of the reasons was it had to do with ticket sales. It can happen based on it can happen to any show, but from the last for the last remaining shows we had, we gave it our 1,000%. We made every show worth it, and a lot more people came and stayed. Let me just tell you, stage door interactions are always the best for us, because we get a lot of fans, especially those on the spectrum, who say like, "I love the show. I feel really seen." And your character was my favorite, and it really warms my heart. It warms everyone's hearts to like hear people say that, and I miss it. I really miss it, and I really hope I get to have that feeling again.
I feel that honestly, you're just beginning. Let me just say that you're just beginning.
We're just getting started, Buck.
Exactly. Exactly. Now, in How to Dance in Ohio, you play Tommy, who is super into comics and super into science fiction. He is excited about getting his driver's license and has that sort of all-American boy charm. What are some characteristics of Tommy that you can relate to or not relate to? And what has Tommy taught you?
Yeah, I really love talking about Tommy, and I just Tommy is basically me in a few situations. Like for one, we're both comic book nerds. Like
Yes.
most we mostly like Marvel, because
Hey.
like pictures, he wears like a Captain America shirt over his like red sweatshirt.
Yes.
And yeah, and in one of our earlier scripts, he mentions the Avengers at one point. But we're also funny. We're also both pretty funny in our whenever we need to be. Like, there's a lot of comedic moments that I enjoy when I was doing the show. Like, in fact, one of my favorite scenes is a scene where Jessica, played by Ashley Wohl, is about to ask me if I wanted to go to the spring formal with her. And
Ooh.
that's like one of my favorite scenes, because it has one of my favorite lines in it that was added in the script in like early tryouts. It was the line where I say, "Do you always have to yield to pedestrians?" And that line gets everyone laughing, and it got a much bigger laugh when it was heard for the very first time in rehearsals. And of course, after that scene leads up to my solo, Chevy Silverado, which thankfully is in our cast album. It's the only short song in the cast album.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And I will say there is a difference between me and Tommy. So Tommy wants to be a licensed driver, but me don't want to do that. But I'm good with the subway. I'm a city guy. I'm very good with the subway and New Jersey Transit and Long Island Railroad and all that. I with driving, no, I can't do it. I think it'll make me too anxious, where to turn, where to stop, and be like, "Oh my God, no."
Especially in a city like New York. I mean, why would you want to drive in a city like New
And no,
York?
especially when there's traffic. But the song Chevy Silverado, it's like a character moment for Tommy, because he's been wanting to get a license to show that he's a man, that he's becoming an adult. And he does want to borrow his brother's truck. And his brother, Scott, obviously says no, because he thinks he's going to wreck it. Which, this is a bit, this is a spoiler. There's a little bit of a spoiler, which he eventually does wreck it. Now, in the song, he gets his license. And it's a bit of a wild sort of thing where, as the song's happening, there is like a truck seat that emerges from the stage. And Liam and Imani, who play Drew and Mel, they bring it on, and Ashley, Amelia, and Des, and Madison, I believe, they bring out car signs, and it is like a there's like a dance in between. So each of the seven characters has their own solo with a lot of with their own background dancers. It's basically all of us, and mine was like the wildest. In the song, my brother told me no, but I found his car keys, and I go
Oh,
driving,
for the love
and then
of
I
God.
accidentally crash it into something. But it's all right, Tommy's okay. And one more thing I actually love to share. The line that's in the song, In Your Face, Scott, that was actually an ad lib that I made in early rehearsals.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I am. And I'll tell you how, because when we were doing it in rehearsals for the Syracuse production, everyone was just seeing Chevy Silverado for the first time. And back then, it didn't have the choreography back then. I was just sitting in the chair with the steering wheel, and a lot of people were like laughing at it, but that for a good reason. And I felt the energy. And as soon as I revealed the keys, everyone was laughing really hard. And I just blurted out, In your face, Scott. And that got like a bigger laugh. And after we did the scene, Sammy Cannell, our director, she came up to me and she said, I love that you ad-libbed that line. We're keeping it. And it stayed in the script ever since.
That's awesome. I love that. And I personally do not blame you for not wanting to drive in out of all places in New York City. I love hearing that exclusive right there because I honestly had no idea that you ad-libs that, let alone that this
Yeah.
was such a chaotic number, especially right after when Jessica asks Tommy to the dance. And it's just like, whoa, okay, clearly
Yeah.
this
It
kid
was
is determined.
also mainly because in context, someone else already asked Tommy to go, and that other person was Mel, played by Imani Russell, and they're like in the show, they're like really, really good friends. So it was then that they decided to go to a dance together, and it was weird timing for Jessica. But that ad lib that I made with the In Your Face, Scott, that wasn't the only ad lib that we added into the show. There were
Really?
a few other ad libs from some of the other cast members. Desmond, who plays Remy in the show. Now, the thing to know about Remy in the show, they like to dress up in cosplay. And they like have a list of all the cosplays that Remy has done previously. And one of them had to be like another member of the Spice Girls called Autistic Spice. And it was so good. And Nicole fought hard to make sure that stayed in the show, which eventually it did. And so, yeah, I wasn't the only one that did an ad lib.
Oh my goodness, that is brilliant right there. Lord, next thing we know, we're gonna have it's the great autistic pumpkin, Charlie Brown. Who the heck knows? Who the heck knows? So tell me a little bit about your life right now. What are you up to? And do you have any current projects in the works?
Well, actually, yeah, this was actually just announced a few days ago. I'm back with Epic. I'm gonna be
Yay!
in A Christmas Carol. We're adapting the Charles Dickens novel and making it like our own spin. And I'm in the main cast. I'm playing young Scrooge, while in addition playing various other characters. So this show is sort of like, it's like the Spamalot treatment, where m other cast members play various parts while one person plays one role. And Max Tooney, who's also in our cast, is only playing Ebenezer Scrooge, like the main Ebenezer Scrooge.
Oh,
And everyone else is like playing various parts, which is fun for me because I haven't done that in a while. And I've done some ensemble roles where I played various characters. So I'm excited to star in A Christmas Carol. And it's also, Young Scrooge is also my very first serious role. There's a scene, one of my favorite scenes is the scene with Young Scrooge and Belle. It's their breakup scene, which is like, I release you, Ebenezer. That's like one of my favorite scenes as an actor because I've never really performed anything like that before, especially with the breakup scene, because those things are usually, they have a real serious tone, and I've done a lot of comedic stuff. So to have that shift is really refreshing for me, and I'm really excited to bring that to life on stage, while at the same time playing other background characters. I also play Peter, Bob Cratchit's son.
That is so awesome. And when is the show gonna happen with that bit?
Well, we're currently in rehearsals right now. We actually have rehearsal tomorrow, and our show is running from December 10th to the 15th, just 5 days only for the holidays. And it's
Oh
going to
my
be
gosh.
at one of the theaters at Theater Row.
Wow, that right in time for Christmas too, dude. That is
Yeah,
incredible.
it's one of my favorite seasons, and Halloween too.
That's
Yeah,
amazing.
I love to like dress up. In fact, this year I'm dressing up as two characters. I'm sorry, I'm going off topic, but
No, you're good.
I would love to share if that's all right. This year for Comic-Con, I'm dressing up as Dr. Robotnik from Sonic the Hedgehog.
Oh,
And for Halloween,
I can see that. I can
I'm
totally see that.
debating if I'm actually no, I'm not debating. I'm probably gonna dress up as Sean Spencer from the TV show Psych. And
Ooh.
maybe, hold on, maybe if I have money, probably do Wolverine from the
Ooh.
latest Deadpool Wolverine movie.
Oh my gosh. I have to
That
be
last
honest.
part is unconfirmed because I'm not sure yet, but the other two are definites.
Those are great, 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 great costumes coming up. And especially, I also have to say, I am so excited that you're coming back to Epic and doing the Christmas Carol because it's such a great classic and it's such a phenomenal role for you. Playing a young Ebenezer Scrooge, as we've seen in so many versions of the show, whether you've seen it in the movies, whether you've seen it on stage, it's not an easy role to play because Ebenezer Scrooge, we are realizing the roots of his behavior that we don't fully understand. So I am so excited for
I
you.
will tell you this, they told us to watch the Muppet version of A Christmas Carol because based on the rehearsals we've had, they wanted us to watch the film to because of the blend of goofiness and emotional weight while also adding in some additional material for characters like with Jacob Marley in the Muppet Christmas Carol.
Yes.
There's Jacob and Robert Marley played by Statler and Waldorf.
Who
And
else?
we're having something similar to like that, but I will not reveal much. In fact, Jacob Marley in our show remains the same in our adaptation. But everything else, hey, for those watching there, you're gonna have to see the show to find out what we're doing, because I'm not saying anything else.
That's right. That's right. If there's one thing that I have learned about Epic is that things stay silent until it is made official through social media. That is for sure. I am so unbelievably elated for you, and especially the fact that you've taken some experience and parts that were inspired by The Muppets Christmas Carol. First of all, The Muppets Christmas Carol is one of the greatest of all time. I'm just going to just say that right then and there. How could you not love it? So, my last question for you, Connor, is as we mentioned and we talked about earlier, Broadway and the theater world are finally becoming more inclusive to autistic actors and other neurodiverse actors. What are tips and tricks or pieces of advice that you have for other aspiring actors on the autism spectrum that want to break into this industry?
Well, all I can say is, just keep going and always be passionate about what you love most, especially if it's acting or singing or everything, all of the above. And, ne just never give up and always look up to the people who've always helped you out and never take them for granted. And if you're planning to audition, keep on auditioning because you need to be seen, and you never know who's going to be on the other side until you're noticed.
Coming from someone that was made his Broadway debut this past year and has done an amazing job at it, I can't say it enough. your career is literally just taking off. It's exciting to literally watch you have the year that you have had over the last 12 months, and yet the opportunities are continuing to knock at your door. I am personally excited to see where this upcoming year takes you. My personal thanks to Connor Take for coming on and sharing his time on Broadway and with Epic and many, 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 many more productions to come. If you live in New York and you are curious to learn more about Epic, make sure to visit their website at www.epicplayers.nyc.com and make sure to check out Connor and the Christmas Carol in New York running through December 10th through December 14th.
And let me just end this with a Grinch quote. I promise I would do that earlier. This interview was fabulous! I promise I would do it.
That was the perfect timing. That was the perfect full circle moment right there. If you like what you heard on this episode and want to hear other episodes or stay tuned for future ones, be sure to like, comment, and subscribe to this podcast. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and on YouTube. Thank you so much for listening to this episode. I'm Devin Morrissey, and I'll see you right here next time on Autistically Unapologetic.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Autistically Unapologetic with Devin Morrissey. If you like what you hear and you want to see more, don't forget to rate and subscribe to stay tuned for future episodes. Again, thanks for listening.